Iron Sharpens Iron, brought to you in part by Buttafuoco & Associates, attorneys at law.
Welcome to Iron Sharpens Iron, the only daily live broadcast in the New York metropolitan and greater Long Island area, on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians have a platform to address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27:17 tells us, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good evening, Long Island, New York, Connecticut, and those listening internationally over the internet. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this very cold, rainy, and dreary evening here on Long Island on the 16th day of September 2010. And I noticed that WNYG Radio got knocked out of their power next to me, and I'm glad God spared us here at WGBB for tonight's program. Grab the phone and call your family, friends, and loved ones, especially if they are devotees or followers or disciples of Harold Camping, the founder and president of Family Radio, who has made the proclamation a number of years ago that the Church of Jesus Christ no longer exists, and anyone who claims to be in the church is an enemy of God. He also predicts that May of next year, May 11th, I believe, is going to mark the end of the world and Judgment Day. Well, have them tune in tonight's broadcast. This is part two of an interview we started last night with Dr. Mark Allison. He is minister at the Free Presbyterian Church of Malvern, Pennsylvania, and he's also professor of theology, adjunct professor of theology and pastoral theology at Geneva Reformed Seminary in Greenville, South Carolina. We would love to hear from you and your questions for Dr. Allison regarding the ministry, quote, of Harold Camping. Our number is 631-888-8811, 631-888-8811. We welcome phone calls from people who wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Camping. We welcome phone calls from people who are absolutely opposed to these teachings. We welcome phone calls from folks who have never even heard of Mr. Camping. Perhaps you're not even a Christian. Perhaps you're a Muslim or a Jew or a Hindu or a Buddhist, a Swedenborgianist, whatever you happen to be, atheist, agnostic. Our number is 631-888-8811. 631-888-8811. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Dr. Mark Allison and his examination of Harold Camping, Judgment Day, and the Church.
I take my spiritual responsibilities very seriously, and we're willing to serve the Lord in whatever way we have to.
Dan Buttafuoco is a different kind of personal injury attorney.
Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." You will see that prominently displayed in our waiting room. We consider that an admonition from God that you should choose your lawyer very carefully. Somebody you know, trust, someone that's recommended to you by a pastor or a leader. If you do that, your chances of a satisfying and rewarding outcome are that much greater, and we'll be blessed.
At Dan Buttafuoco & Associates, Dan Buttafuoco heads a legal team that cares.
We help accident victims rebuild their lives, counsel them, minister to them spiritually, do everything we can to have a positive outcome. That's what our firm is all about.
When you have an injury resulting from somebody else's negligence, call Dan Buttafuoco. There are no upfront fees. The only fee is after you win your case. For a free consultation, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and if you've just tuned us in, tonight is night number two of our two-night interview with Dr. Mark Allison, a minister at the Free Presbyterian Church of Malvern, Pennsylvania, and adjunct professor of theology and pastoral theology at Geneva Reformed Seminary in Greenville, South Carolina. Our theme tonight is Harold Camping, Judgment Day and the Church Examined. And this, as I said, is part two of that discussion. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron, Dr. Mark Allison.
Chris, it's a joy to be back with you again tonight. We have the same kind of weather pattern here as you do there. It's cold and rainy, but we trust that the Lord will bless us on our time together this evening.
Amen. And I do want to let the folks know, I know that a number of you have been trying to listen to the MP3 link of last night's interview with Dr. Allison that hopefully, God willing, will be posted on the website and working either tonight or tomorrow. So we apologize for any inconvenience or frustration that you've been caused, but we do have a working MP3. I just don't do that technical stuff. I have other people who volunteer and post those things on my website. Let's do a little bit of summary from last night. Some of the listeners who may be discovering our program for the first time, Dr. Allison, on WGBB, may have never heard of Mr. Camping or Family Radio. As I've mentioned, WGBB is primarily a secular radio station. And so give us a little bit of a summary of what people may have missed. And obviously, we don't want to go too long on this because people can always hear the MP3 later on. But who is Harold Camping, and why has he caused so much concern to Orthodox Bible-believing Christians all over the world?
Well, Harold Camping is from California. He was originally born in Colorado, but as a young child moved to California. In 1958, he started his radio career, as it were, actually coming on the radio in the San Francisco area in 1959. He had a construction company. He sold that company and devoted his time since then to trying to propagate the gospel. For many years, there wasn't a lot of issues with Mr. Camping. Most of the issues were small. But then he began in his prophetic teachings to try to set a date of Christ's return. He wrote a book in 1994 saying Christ would come back in that year. He did not come back. And so he reinterpreted that date and said, well, we had the date right. It was just we had the wrong event for that date. And so now he has picked May 21st, 2011. He has certain dispensations to the church age, and he feels that in 1988 the church age came to a close, and that since then the churches, even the Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches, those that are faithful to the Word, all the churches have been given over to Satan. Satan now rules in the churches, and God's people are commanded to come out of the church because Satan rules there. The Holy Spirit is not present. If the Holy Spirit's not present, no one has been saved in the church since 1988. As far as the date 1994 is concerned, he uses that date now to say that's the beginning of this last harvest. He has three harvests in his theology, and the last harvest began in 1994, and the world is being harvested now, that his soul is being brought to Christ, not by the church, because as he says, the church is given over to Satan, but by organizations like Family Radio, which are outside the church and outside Satan's domain. Well, predicting that Christ is going to come back in May 21st and then the whole world will end in October 21st of 2011, that in itself is serious. But what he is saying about the church being given over to Satan, that there are no more elders in God's sight or deacons, we are not to do baptism or the Lord's table. All these things have been passed away. Those things are very, very serious. And if somebody follows that teaching, they're walking and living in sin, because the Bible commands you to do these things, and to stop doing them is to break God's commands. And these are very serious commands.
Are people even to be married anymore?
Well, I don't, not in a church ceremony, because that would be where the devil has his throne. The devil's throne is in the church, according to Mr. Camping. The whole church has been given over to Satan. So all the things that would normally be relegated to the church are now outside the church. And there's no authority in these fellowships. He tells you to leave the church, join a fellowship, but there's no authority in those fellowships because if there was authority, you'd have, again, a type of a church. And so even family radio, he would say, has no authority over people. The church used to have authority. It was a God-given authority. But now that, according to him, is finished. Now, that flies, obviously, in the face of Scripture. And there's nothing in the New Testament about the church ceasing. There's always been churches that have gone into apostasy, and we're commanded to come out of those churches, but we're commanded to either join a good church or start a good church.
Mm-hmm.
We're never commanded just to stay by ourselves as a non-entity. The church is the body of Christ, and as such is to minister one to another as well as bring glory to its living head.
We do have a listener on the line, listening on the Internet. We have Ernie in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Iron Sharpens Iron, Ernie.
Hello, Chris, and hello, Dr. Allison. I did not listen last night. I was not aware of the interview, but I was just curious, if you haven't already been asked this question, what do you suppose will be the activity that would follow this May 21st date after it comes and goes, and Mr. Camping and all of his followers are still here rather perplexed?
And I'm assuming what you mean by your question is if Mr. Camping does not truly repent of his heresies and really publicly state that he was in grievous error and proclaim and start beginning to proclaim the truth once again. I'm assuming that's what you mean, if he remains fixed in his positions.
That is correct, Chris.
Okay. Good question. Dr. Allison?
As we were stating last night, what I view happening even at this moment is you're seeing a cult form. Walter Martin, in his book on the cults, said a cult is a group of people polarized around someone's interpretation of the Bible, and is characterized by major deviations from Orthodox Christianity relative to the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. Well, certainly that's what we're seeing, is the cult formed around the teachings of Harold Camping. What happens when Christ does not come on the 21st? Now, we know the Lord will come back, but what happens when he doesn't come back on May the 21st? Well, if Mr. Camping does not repent, I think he'll continue to lead the cult that he has been forming and somehow, again, reinterpret the date. Now, getting harder for him to do that because in 1994, when he said Christ was coming, he had a question mark over that, but he has put no question mark over this. He's dogmatic and he's absolutely certain. As to those in the world, they're going to look at this as another statement to them that the church is telling lies and that the Bible is not true. But what about the followers of Camping? Well, we have from history times when this has happened. And we can tell from that there are usually three reactions. One, if there are true believers caught up in what Mr. Camping is saying, hopefully at that point their eyes will be open and they'll come back to the truth of the gospel and associate with a Bible-believing church and put themselves away from the teachings that they've been following. There will be those, though, who will lose all confidence in the Scriptures, all confidence in Mr. Camping. I know of one who's already done that. And he's become an agnostic. The other group, the third reaction, would be those who would take the position that, well, Camping is right no matter what. We're just misunderstanding something. And as I said, they'd give some kind of a new interpretation. This is what happened in 1844 when the Seventh-day Adventist movement started. A preacher by the name of Miller, he was a lay preacher among the Baptists, began preaching that Christ would come back and cleanse the temple. This was based on his understanding of Daniel. And when Christ didn't come back, they rearranged the date. When he didn't come back on the second date, Miller humbly acknowledged that he was wrong. He rejected his own teachings. And I think he was truly a believer, humbled before the Lord. The followers, though, instead reinterpreted the date. They said, this date is correct, but Christ went to the heavenly temple and cleansed the heavenly temple. We were wrong in thinking he was coming to the earthly temple. Jehovah's Witness did a similar thing when they predicted Christ would come back in 1914. Of course, Christ did not, but then they reinterpreted. Well, Camping has already shown that he's willing to do that. Maybe he would say something along the line, Christ did come back, but it was to something other than the earth. I don't know what Mr. Camping will do. We could hope that he would repent, but we haven't seen much humility out of the man since 1994.
Any quick follow-up, Bernie?
No, I think that was a good answer. I appreciate it, Dr. Allison.
And, Ernie, are you a first-time caller?
I think I might have called in a long time ago once when you had Bill Shisco on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if you've ever won one of our leather Bibles, but if you'd like to go to sharpens.org, the first-time callers, if you didn't win one before, you can just click on Contact Chris Arnzen and give me your full name and email. Your full name and mailing address, and we'll ship you out a genuine leather Bible. And we thank the publishers of the New American Standard Bible and also the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates for shipping that out to you. And we thank you for your call tonight.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
All right, our number is 631-888-8811, 631-888-8811. And now, Mr. Camping, as you said, there were a number of years, perhaps even many, where he was a reasonably sound teacher. I remember discovering him in the early 80s, and I was very, very blessed for a number of years by family radio. Mr. Camping himself, I always found him a little off-putting. I think he had some strange quirks or even a hyper-Calvinistic approach to proclaiming the gospel. Being a Reformed Christian myself, I loved the vast majority of ministries that were broadcast on Conference Echoes and some of the other programs, including, as I mentioned yesterday, John Greer, your predecessor over there at Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, who was on there not only in Echoes many times, but also on his own daily 15-minute program. Many of the ministers that I know personally were aired on Conference Echoes very often due to me mailing them tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of quite a number of people who have been not only led to Christ, obviously, which is the most important thing, through family radio, but also to the doctrines of sovereign grace that you and I would nickname Reformed theology.
Yeah.
So he has, in the past, been used greatly by God, and his stations worldwide have been used greatly by God. And this is actually why you and I are so upset about these turn of events, aren't we?
That's right. That's right. I began listening as well early on in the 80s, right around 1980. I heard him in California, was out there preaching. And much of what he said I would agree with. He had a few quirks, but they were minor on and theological issues. But since 1994, he has become hardened in what he is saying, and his ideas have become very nonsensical and crazy at times. His creed, when we were on the radio, was that he was working with the local church to try to establish and build it. And yet, everything about his programs now is to tear down the church, mm-hmm. and destroy it. He has become the enemy of the church. In that regard, he has taken Satan's place in trying to attack and destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. Strange twist of things. And in fact, much of his theology is about Satan. When you read his literature, the church is given over to Satan. Satan runs the church. The Holy Spirit's not in the church. Nobody's being saved in the church. It's just bizarre, the things that are coming out of his mouth when you look back as to what he used to teach. We have a number of folks in our church here in Malvern that also were saved as a result of hearing the gospel on family radio. They came to Christ. But they would say to you that the gospel of Mr. Camping that they used to hear, they don't hear now. And they reject the false teachings that he's bringing to the fore now. It's not just prophecy. It's not just the church giving over to Satan. There are a number of issues that he is teaching that are strange, bizarre, and would be harmful. I would say that if a true Christian were following his teaching, he would be led by Mr. Camping to doubt his salvation. And it's just bizarre, the things that he is telling people. One woman called in and she said, Mr. Camping, I finally found a good church, and now you're telling me I have to leave. His response to her was, if you don't leave, it's evidence that you're not saved and that you have the mark of the beast on you. Now, if you took that seriously, you would doubt your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing people saved in our church here in Malvern. God's people are seeing people saved throughout the United States. As I said last night, I've been to Liberia 8 times in the last 4.5 years, working with churches in Liberia, and churches are full of people being saved, coming to Christ, and they're reformed in their doctrine. They believe what we believe, and yet the gospel's going out. People are coming into the church. Now, are people being saved outside of the church? Well, if you want to say that outside the four walls of the church someone hears the gospel and comes to Christ, yes. But they're being saved inside the four walls as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's putting forth is really nothing other than a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling people the Holy Spirit has departed from the church. If you believe that, then you're going to doubt everything that you felt in that church since 1988. You're going to say, that was really Satan speaking to me rather than the Holy Ghost. And once you go down that path, you will doubt your salvation. You'll doubt everything that you come to experience from the Word of God because you were deceived once before, if you believe what Mr. Camping is saying. And so what he's saying is very serious. I said last night that I believe he's blaspheming the Holy Ghost because he is attributing the work of the Holy Ghost in the Church of Christ to Satan. Now, that is a strong statement,
mm-hmm.
but that is exactly what he is doing. And he is telling people to leave the church to escape Satan. In reality, when Paul gave someone over to Satan, he put them outside the church. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 5. You see it in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Put him outside the church for strong moral sins, or put him outside the church because of heresy. Well, the one who's putting people outside the church, giving them over to Satan, is really Harold Camping. He's telling them to leave the church where they're in the safety of refuge under the preaching of the gospel and the moving of God's Spirit, and he's driving them out to Satan's domain. And it's very bizarre, very bizarre.
By the way, you mentioned earlier that he obviously, as you've been mentioning quite frequently, is warning people to flee the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he was recommending at some point for them to fellowship with people who may be like-minded in agreeing with Mr. Camping. But when he was participating in the debate that we aired here on Iron Sharpens Iron, during my conversation with him on the air after the debates, when we were having his final word on the issue, he no longer is recommending that at all. He is not recommending that people look for any fellowship.
Mm.
He is basically saying that it's you, your Bible, God, and of course he's implying Family Radio.
Yeah.
So he is he really is functioning, even though he says there is no church, there is no leadership in the ecclesiastical sense. No pastors and so forth. He is basically serving as a pope, if you will, of his cult.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He is taking dominion over those that are following his teaching. He's not looking to them for any help in understanding the Scripture. They must come to him, and he'll give them the proper interpretation of Scripture, which oftentimes is very bizarre. You know, when he said that you had to leave the church, one of the main arguments he made was from Jeremiah 29, that Israel was told to leave Israel and go to Babylon. And he said Babylon was coming, that was Satan, and Babylon was going to destroy Israel, and therefore you had to flee to Babylon, that is Satan, for protection. How bizarre is that, that a Christian is to flee to Satan for protection? You know, but if you followed even his reasoning, what they did is they went into Babylon, but God brought them out of Babylon. And he brought them back to Israel, and they rebuilt the temple. And after they rebuilt the temple, they waited there for Christ's coming. And so if you even followed the typology of what he said, we do leave apostate churches. Israel was apostate at the time. We do leave, but we do for the purpose of starting another church that's going to preach the gospel and hold forth the truths about Christ and the ordinances that he's established, and then we wait for his return. And yet he doesn't even follow his own typology that he says is the reason why we ought to leave the church and go into Babylon. But he's actually driving people to Satan. And, you know, it's bizarre when you actually start to analyze some of the things that he is teaching. He has this, as I said earlier, a fixation on Satan. And because of that, the people that we have dealt with who have left our church, they have been afraid. He's got them scared. If you stay in the church, you're going to be given over to Satan. If you stay in the church, you'll end up in hell. You have the mark of the beast put on you. And that fear, because they're taking what he says seriously, causes them to leave the church. And in effect, what he's doing is giving them over to Satan. If you use the language the way Paul did, he's taking them outside the church into the realm of Satan's domain.
Yes, the irony is that, as we mentioned yesterday, he believes that you can cry out to God for salvation now and not even be crying out to Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, he, during my on-air discussion with him, said that members of pagan tribes out in the jungle and other parts of the world that have been unevangelized and who know not the name of Christ, as long as they cry out to God, he said, they will be saved. If they truly cry out to God. Now, the irony is there. You have a person crying out to an unnamed, unknown God being safer in Camping's eyes than a Christian who is an obedient member of a church.
That's right. That's right. It's so bizarre.
Yes.
So bizarre. And many of his teachings, when you sit down without it being afraid and begin analyzing in the light of Scripture, you stand back shaking your head and say, this is so bizarre, I can't believe someone is actually saying this.
We have another caller on the line. We have Mark in Long Beach, Long Island, New York. Welcome to Iron Sharpens Iron, Mark.
Hi. I was just wondering, I'll get my question on the air. But what makes Camping the voice of God? You know, like he mentions himself as Noah, and I noticed that Noah had it right the first time, not like Camping has.
Well,
my question on.
Yeah, that can't be true because I am. I'm only kidding. Hey, thanks for calling, Mark,
no
and listen to your answer after. Actually, we'll have Dr. Allison respond to your question when we return from our break. And if anybody else would like to join our discussion, our number is 631-888-8811, 631-888-8811. We'll be right back with Dr. Mark Allison and our theme, Harold Camping, Judgment Day in the Church Examined.
The New American Standard Bible has been widely embraced as the most literally accurate English translation from the original languages. Millions of people, students, scholars, pastors, missionaries, and laypersons alike trust the NASB, learning from it and applying it to the challenges of their everyday lives. Discover what the original text says word for word. The New American Standard Bible has been updated, increasing clarity and readability. Vocabulary, grammar, and sentence structure were carefully reviewed for greater understanding and smoother reading. In perfecting the updated NASB, more than 20 translators spent nearly 3 years scrutinizing the NASB in order to modernize it and maintain it in accordance with the most recent research on the oldest and best manuscripts. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. For more details on the most literal Bible translation that is now more readable, visit www.nasbible.com. That's www.nasbible.com.
Hi, my name is Kristen Buttafuoco. My father is Dan Buttafuoco of Buttafuoco & Associates, the personal injury lawyers. I've seen firsthand the time, love, and dedication that my dad puts into each and every case. His firm is dedicated to helping victims of accident and medical malpractice. It was his passion for his clients that inspired me to pursue a law career of my own. He has over 20 years of experience, so he knows exactly what to do for you. If you or a loved one have been injured, please call my dad at 1-800-669-HURT. That's 1-800-669-HURT. I know he will help you, just as he's helped thousands of other victims rebuild their lives. Hopefully one day I will be able to touch people's lives as my father and his staff have. So call Buttafuoco & Associates at 1-800-669-HURT and let them fight for you. 1-800-669-HURT. H-U-R-T. We help accident victims rebuild their lives.
If If you're like me, you can never seem to find a battery when you really need one. But I found the solution, so I'll let you in on a little secret. BatteryDepot.com provides you with an affordable, easy way to quickly get almost any kind of battery you need without ever leaving your home. Cell phone, cordless phone, digital camera, laptop, power tool, or any kind of battery for your home or industry. For only 99 cents shipping, it's cheaper than using gas, and 99% of all orders are shipped within 48 hours. Just visit BatteryDepot.com, or you can call toll-free at 1-866-403-3768. The prices at BatteryDepot.com are very competitive, and further discounts for multiple orders and tax-exempt organizations are available. Visit BatteryDepot.com now or call 1-866-403-3768. That's 1-866-403-3768. BatteryDepot.com.
Greetings. This is Jonathan Weingarten of good old Gold in Massapequa Park, Long Island, and we're delighted to be sponsors of the Iron Sharpens Iron program. When purchasing something as valuable as a diamond, please do some serious homework in order to protect yourself from unscrupulous merchants. And believe me, there are plenty out there. Good old Gold believes the key to purchasing a diamond is education, and we want all consumers to have the tools to be able to make an informed decision. The mission of our ultimate diamond information site, goodoldgold.com, is to provide consumers with the most comprehensive diamond experience while offering a competitive assortment of quality diamonds. Goodoldgold.com provides tutorials, videos, and articles to help you find the diamond that best suits you. Of course, if you stop by Good Old Gold's headquarters in Massapequa Park, Long Island, I or any of my staff will personally assist you with state-of-the-art technology in selecting the perfect diamond for you. I happen to personally be a member of the Gemological Institute of America's Alumni and Associates, as well as an associate member of the International Society of Appraisers. Call Good Old Gold today and make an appointment with me or my staff at 516-798-5151. That's 516-798-5151. Or visit goodoldgold.com. That's GOODOLDGOLD.com. On behalf of the entire Good Old Gold staff, I wish you all an abundance of God's blessings in 2010. Thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you've just tuned us in, this is Iron Sharpens Iron, and we are interviewing Dr. Mark Allison of the Free Presbyterian Church of Malvern, Pennsylvania, and also a gentleman who's on the faculty of the Geneva Reformed Seminary in Greenville, South Carolina. That's where Dr. Allison teaches, where he's a professor of theology and pastoral theology. We are discussing Harold Camping, Judgment Day in the Church. And the last call before our break, we had Mark in Long Beach, Long Island, asking a question that really he should be posing to Harold Camping, because I think only Harold Camping can tell you why he thinks he is Noah of our day and the voice of God in our day at these last hours. But have you heard him give the reason why he thinks he is the Noah of the end times?
Well, I have not heard him verbally stated, but certainly when you listen to him, he acts as if he has truth that no one else has, mm-hmm. and that he's standing completely alone. He says he doesn't believe in extra-biblical revelation, but what mm-hmm. he's receiving is illumination to the Bible that others have not received. But when you actually listen to him take the Scripture and twist it and add his own mm-hmm. rational thinking to the Scripture, it's quite clear that he is claiming revelation that no one else has ever seen. Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this book, it is because there is no light in them. If they don't speak according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Camping, when you analyze his supposed new revelation, his supposed insights, in light of Scripture, he's contradicting Scripture. We know that his insights are not true because we can analyze them in light of what we do know to be true. And it's his supposed insights. For instance, our Lord said, no man can know the day and the hour of his coming, And he said that over and over and over again in Matthew 24. He said in verse 36, 42, verse 44, again in verse 50. Over and over again, he says you can't know the day and the hour. And yet here's Camping for the third time in his ministry saying he knows. And he was wrong the first time. He was wrong in 1994. And now I believe he'll be wrong again in May 2011. And yet he says he knows. Well, whatever insight he thinks that he has, he's contradicting what our Lord says. Our Lord says no man. Camping is a man. And yet if he has been given such revelation, such insight, it would really mean that you're adding to Scripture. It would be like the Pope declaring himself infallible in the interpretation of Scripture. And really, I don't know of anyone in church history, any even cult in church history, that said Christ was coming back on May the 21st, 2011. Now, this is new. This is Camping's new era. And he feels like he's like Noah because he's the only one standing out there. But John said they went out from us because they were not of us. And the cults have always been forced out of the main church because of their errors, and Camping has as well. So if he feels lonely, there's reason for that. It's because what he is teaching is schism, and what he's demanding people to believe is really heresy. And so the church has had to force him out, as it were, to keep his heirs from destroying God's people.
Yes, actually, I think he's keeping company with the pagan Mayans. Didn't the pagan Mayans predict 2011 as the end of the world?
I think you're right. I think there is another group out there that's not even Christian.
Right. And he has also become an annihilationist, as far as I understand, correct?
Yes, he has. He believes that with the soul will be destroyed rather than go on in everlasting punishment. And you know, it's bizarre the way people reason along that line. You do have verses like Psalm 115 that talks about that the dead do not praise, you know, there was God go down to the pit. You see that in verse 17. But if that were true, that verse, and in the way that Camping is interpreting it, it would be true of believers as well. There'd be none of us living on the other side of the grave either. That's not what those verses mean. The verse has to do with the fact that the dead are not in this life praising God. Obviously, when you read the book of the Revelation, God's people in heaven are praising God. And those that are in hell obviously are not on this earth praising God, as you see in Luke 16. The rich man was in hell crying out for a drop of water. And so there is eternal torment. The way he interprets some of these verses would rule out heaven as well. And even he says there is heaven. The rich man in Luke 16 was not annihilated by the flames of hell, but he was there in torment. You have verses that teach there are different degrees in the final punishment of the lake of fire. You store up wrath until the day of wrath. Our Lord himself said it'd be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for some of the cities that he did his miracles in. Well, here are degrees of punishment. If you have degrees of punishment, it's quite obvious that everyone is not annihilated. That's the same punishment. Then also you have times in Scripture where the eternal punishment is compared to the eternal bliss of God's people. You see this especially in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, our Lord talks about his return. Verse 31, he talks about the judgment. And he says in verse 46, the goats go into the punishment, the sheep into this heavenly and glorious kingdom. He says in verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What is true of life eternal, the bliss, we're conscious, we're going on, would also be true of everlasting punishment. It is not annihilation. It is an existence for all eternity. Under the punishment and wrath of God for sin.
You know, one of the things that has occurred to me, noticing Mr. Camping spiraling for years deeper and deeper into heresy, one of the things that was quite unique about him, even prior to any of the more overt or outlandish heresies that he has been claiming for the last 16 years or so, he once claimed to be theologically reformed, as you and I do.
Yes.
And yet he was very anti-creedal and anti-confessional. He used to wear the badge or the button that said the Bible alone or Bible only. Now, obviously, both you and I, being heirs of the Protestant Reformation, believe very strongly in sola scriptura. But this disconnect from the body of Christ globally and even from the past, some of our forefathers in the faith that really helped to clarify and teach great doctrines of the scriptures that had been buried by Rome's superstition and so forth, who formulated these creeds and confessions, they are somewhat of a safeguard as long as they're used properly. They cannot obviously be ever put on the level of Scripture as Rome does with its tradition. But don't you believe that this is could be one reason why Camping and his followers have spiraled so far outside of orthodoxy? They are cutting themselves off from the great minds that God has given us in the faith over the centuries, who have helped clarify what biblical orthodoxy is?
Well, that's true. He mocks those that will go to the substandards, and that's what they are. They're a substandard, or other men who read their literature and their works, but then he wants people to listen to him. And if a man won't read, why should he be read? Or if a man won't listen to what the Holy Spirit has shown God's people down through the ages, why should he himself be listened to? And yet he demands that people listen to him, and he says everyone has been wrong for 1,950 years until he came on the scene and now is going to give us the truth. And in effect, he is claiming to have a prophetic gift to interpret Scripture that no one else has ever had. But we don't put the substandard above Scripture. That is correct. But we do believe that God has given, by his Holy Spirit, men and women down through the ages, insight into the Word of God. But we judge everything that they teach mm-hmm. by the Word. And the tradition is not put above the Word as Rome does. The tradition is a substandard. And yet those substandards, if you're going to go against the whole church for 2,000 years, you have to question, are you right or not? As one theologian said, if what I believe is true, it's probably not new. And if it's new, it's probably not true. And Mr. Camping has the opposite opinion. Everything new he comes up with, he declares is true and everyone else is wrong. It takes a great deal of arrogance to do so, but it also takes a great deal of twisting of the Scripture.
Yeah, his motto always used to be, and I'm sure still is, don't read books about the Bible, read the Bible. And then he would promote books that he had written.
Exactly. You know, you can read my literature. I was going through one of his documents today, and he was footnoting all of his other stuff he has written. But we judge everything in light of Scripture. And the men and women of the past who have gone before, God showed them things. And in the time of the Reformation, the Puritans were to believe the Word of God meant you were going to lose your life. These men were very careful as to what they believed. They were trying to cross every T and dot every I. I'm not saying they were perfect, but they were not trying to get rich. They were trying to give the people the truth of God's Word, and many of them did seal their testimony with their own blood. Mm-hmm. We're in this easy day to get along and to say you're a Christian, anything goes. A man like Camping can get a large following at times simply because he's new and he's very dogmatic. And people like that. They like a dogmatic mm-hmm. teacher. Second Peter says that those who come would not be embarrassed to rail on angels. Mm-hmm. Dogmatism and people following the confidence of the one scorning those who went before them. Well, the Bible says you're to smite the scorner that the naive might be wise. And there are times when Mr. Camping's scorning of the truth has to be dealt with, as we're trying to do in a loving fashion, but still must be dealt with, as we're trying to do on the program tonight.
Just to give you an idea of the of the blindness that people who have been brainwashed by him, and don't even see the inconsistencies of their own understanding of Mr. Camping's role in the church and the scriptures. There was a gentleman who was a devout follower of Mr. Camping. I don't know if he still is. But he would roam around Long Island in particular. This is prior to Camping's ban on the church, when Camping was still telling people, you must join a church. And he would go around visiting church to church to church, and typically for the sole reason of lingering around after the worship service so he can criticize what was preached from the pulpit. And I can still remember him one day after attending a worship service at the congregation where I attend. He approached me in the lobby and said, you know what I hate about your pastor's preaching? He's always quoting Charles Spurgeon, and he's quoting George Whitfield, and he's quoting Jonathan Edwards. Why doesn't he just stick to the Bible and Mr. Camping? And I said to him, did you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
Stick to the Bible and Mr. Camping? You're condemning somebody for quoting great men of God and telling them to stick to the Bible and Mr. Camping? I said, what part of the canon did Mr. Camping write? But anyway, we have to go to our final break. If you'd like to call us and join us on the air with a question for Dr. Allison, this is your last opportunity tonight. 631-888-8811 is our number. 631-888-8811. We'll be right back.
Greetings in Christ. We are First Baptist Church of Lindenhurst, located at 39 East John Street in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. We are a New Covenant Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. We believe and preach the total sovereignty of the triune God of Holy Scriptures, along with the responsibility of man. We see this as the apparent paradox which is perfected in the mind of God. We believe the Scriptures teach man's fallen state, the unconditional election of God's people, the atonement only of God's people, that the elect are irresistibly made believers, and that those elect will persevere in Christ through grace, faith, and the Word of God alone. For further information, please call us at 631-226-2177 or visit us at www.firstbaptistlindenhurst.com. We look forward to ministering to you in Christ and invite you to join us for Sunday worship.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Weingarten, gemologist, author, diamond designer, and one of the owners of Good Old Gold in Massapequa Park, Long Island. I'm a member of the Gemological Institute of America Alumni and Associates and an associate member of the International Society of Appraisers. Good Old Gold has received wonderful reviews in Newsday, on News 12 Long Island, Good Morning America, and in Modern Jeweler magazine. Good Old Gold's reputation for excellence is global, so whether you live in Massapequa, Massachusetts, or Madagascar, we hope you join others from around the world who have discovered that Good Old Gold is a diamond source you can trust. Good Old Gold is listed with the Jewelers Board of Trade and is a member of the Consolidated Jewelers Association of Greater New York, which stands for honesty and integrity within the jewelry industry. Good Old Gold offers you the best prices when purchasing your own unwanted gold jewelry and will even help you run your own gold party. Invite a group of friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers for an opportunity to sell their unwanted gold jewelry while enjoying refreshments, fun, and good company. They will get the best prices they find anywhere. You could search us on the web on this, and you'll see we pay the highest prices for your unwanted gold. Your guests will leave happy with cash in hand, and you earn a commission on all sales. Yes, you who hold the gold party will get a commission. Call Good Old Gold today at 516-798-5151. That's 516-798-5151. Or visit goodoldgold.com. That's GOODOLDGOLD.com. Good Old Gold is a proud sponsor of the Iron Sharpens Iron program.
It's more and more difficult these days in a culture dominated by commercialism to find a biblically sound local congregation that has not also caved in to the mindset and methodology of mainstream media advertising agencies that seek to appeal to the appetites of the world. If you've been looking for a fellowship that still regards the Holy Scriptures as the only authoritative standard for faith and practice, and still believes that each and every word found there is equally inspired of God, please pay a visit to Massapequa Bible Ministries, near the border of Nassau and Suffolk counties on Long Island. Pastor Jack Thomas and the folks at Massapequa Bible Ministries focus their meetings on studying God's Word, which they believe should be paramount when believers gather together. Massapequa Bible Ministries meets at the facilities of the South Shore Dance Studio, 81 Grand Avenue in Massapequa, just two blocks north of the train station off of Central Avenue. Their Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and they have children's Bible studies and junior church services every Sunday. They also have Wednesday night prayer meetings at 7:30 at the home of members. Call Pastor Jack Thomas at 631-691-0063 for more details. That's 631-691-0063. Or visit massbibmin.org. That's MASSBIBMIN.org. You can email Pastor Jack at MassapequaBible@Juno.com. That's MassapequaBible@Juno.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. This is our final segment of tonight's interview with Dr. Mark Allison. This is part two of our two-night discussion on Harold Camping, Judgment Day, and the Church. This is your final opportunity to give us a call if you want to join us at 631-888-8811, 631-888-8811. One thing I wanted to mention that I find quite fascinating about your denomination, Dr. Allison, being a Reformed Baptist myself, I found it intriguing that the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and of Ulster, to my knowledge, are the only Presbyterian denomination where those in the pastorate can either be paedo-Baptist or Baptist in regard to the ordinance of baptism.
Well, that is correct. We take our name Presbyterian from our church government and the fellowship and how we conduct ourselves in relationship to our other brethren in their churches. So we have elder rule in the local church and elder rule as a denomination. As to baptism, we give liberty of conscience. I myself am a credo Baptist, a believer's Baptist, and I would never be asked to violate that in any way, shape, or form. So I preach what I believe and practice what I believe along that line. And yet there might be others in the church who would believe in the baptism of infants. And so we would not allow the baptism where someone thinks that by being baptized you're saved, as Rome would teach, you baptize an infant, they're saved, or as Mormons and disciples of Christ teach that an adult has to be baptized to be saved. That would be pushed out, but what has been held in church history among Orthodox believers, we have allowed in the church in that regard.
So in other words, if somebody wanted to baptize an infant, you would give them the permission to call upon a minister who agreed with them. They would not... you would not be compelled to do something that violated your conscience on that.
Not at all. Yes, I would not be violating my conscience. I would just be giving them the permission to do that in the church and allow that to take place. We have a similar policy in prophecy. We don't have one prophetic viewpoint, premillennial, postmillennial, or amillennial. We have men who hold all those different views. Somebody's wrong, but... at the same time, having that, if somebody said Christ isn't coming back, or if somebody says that the end of the world is May the 21st, 2011, we would be telling them, no, you're not welcome in the membership here. You can come listen to the word preached, but not in the membership, because we're not going to tolerate that.
Now, returning to our main theme, does Mr. Camping, in your opinion, preach a false gospel?
Yes, he does. He actually has come out with a view now that he says that Christ actually was made the atonement before he came into this world, and that the giving of the atonement on the cross was just a demonstration of that which had been made. We know that isn't true. When the fullness of time was come, Paul says God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. Why? To redeem those who are under the law. Redemption had not taken place the redemption took place on the cross when he shed his blood and then in his own intercession presented his atoning work to the Father. So we know that's wrong. We also know that he will not invite people to come to Christ. He says that that is free willism. It's nothing of the sort. We believe that man is totally depraved and will not come. But we also believe that when God regenerates the heart, man will repent and believe. And it is the preacher's job to invite sinners to come to Christ and repent and come and lay hold of him. And we trust that when we are doing so, that behind the scenes, in the heart, the Holy Spirit is not only showing the misery of their sin, is not only enlightening their minds in the knowledge of Christ, but that Holy Spirit would also renew their will so they can come to Christ. He that believeth not on the Son, our Lord himself said in John chapter 3, is condemned already. He's already condemned. You must believe. So Mr. Camping has aberrant views that way. He has another aberrant view when he talks about the faith of Christ. And rather than say that that is our faith in Christ, he says that's Christ believing, and that that believing is imputed to us. And when you start talking to him about the righteousness of Christ being imputed, he denies that, knowing full well what the Scripture teaches in Romans 4. He denies the imputed righteousness of Christ, and he says that faith is imputed. Now, faith is imparted, but Christ's faith is not imputed to us. It is his righteousness that is imputed. And in his own way of thinking, he says that faith is not the instrument whereby we lay hold of Christ and are saved. He said that would make faith of works in the merit of our salvation. And he's missing completely what the Scripture teaches. No one says that faith is a grounds of our acceptance, not in Reformed circles. We've all rejected that. But you must believe. Our Lord demands it. You must repent and believe. And he is so downplaying repentance and faith that he will not even tell someone to repent and believe.
Amazing. Well, you wonder how he thinks that crying out to God, as he says, is any less of an act of free willism or of a work added to the work of Christ.
Exactly right. If you have power to cry out to God, that too is given to you by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, but in the Scripture, when he compares the publican and the Pharisee, and the publican cried out to God for mercy, he's misunderstanding the Greek word there. The Greek word was that the publican cried out to God, saying, God, not merely be merciful to me, the sinner, but he's cried out, God, be propitious to me, the sinner. He was asking for salvation. He was asking God to save his soul.
And Dr. Allison, we have to end there. We ran out of time. Please let our listeners know very quickly how they can contact you.
They can contact me at my church number, 610-993-3170. That's 610-993-3170. Or they can write to me on the Internet, mchhouseaol.com, mchhouse@aol.com.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ellison. I look forward to having you back. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. God bless.